Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. My name is Lindsay Curry and my co-host, David Curry, and we are excited for today's episode with you. We are excited for our special guest. Welcome back, Corey Price, principal of Legacy Financial Group and a valued partner with AmeriLife. You may remember Corey from episode 12, and if you haven't heard that one yet, be sure to check that out. Corey is a true expert when it comes to identifying and isolating objections in the sales process, and today he is here to share his insight and experience with us. Welcome back, Corey.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me back. I'm surprised, you know, after the first one, I didn't know if I'd be back or not.
Yeah, we've gone 30-something episodes. It's time to get you back.
You tried to avoid me, and you just ran out of people, or what it was. Yeah,
we think it's a good idea, especially on this topic.
I think you got a lot of views. I mean, I think you were one of the highest views that we got.
Yeah, they were probably just all of my team trying to be nice.
Yeah, so you ran the yarn for a topic today that I know has been challenging for you. So, you know, they always say the best teachers are the ones that have experienced it all. So I'm excited, like we always do. We'll theme this show with a quote. Today, our quote is from the one and only Stephen Covey. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. And I know personally myself, I've struggled with this. It has been a growth experience and journey for me in this listening space. And most salespeople aren't built that way. They're not built to be natural listeners. Good listeners are not always the best talkers. And sometimes it's the talking that gets you through to the sale. So we're going to break that down today. I'm excited to open this up and really dive kind of deep into the aspect of listening. It's always been a topic we've talked about. To become a great sales agent, you really have to become a good listener. But I think that comes as a two-way street. So, Corey, welcome back. I've got something for you. I'm going to put you right on the spot. Okay?
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, we didn't prep for this one. So, Corey, it's pretty elementary. But I just want to ask you if you will do a couple things for me. So, the first one is spell the word coast.
Coast? C-O-A-S-T.
What about roast?
R-O-A-S-T.
Can you spell most?
M-O-S-T.
Okay, right so far. Last one, can you spell host?
H-O-S-T.
Now, what do you put in the toaster?
Bread.
Oh man, see, he has worked. He's worked so hard on his listening skills. So, and I'm not the fastest talker. So, see, you're probably supposed to go through that a lot faster, get their brain all jumbled up. But no, that's why Corey's on today talking and explaining to us his journey in active listening. So, good job. You've passed test one.
Let's go ahead and wrap it up after that, you know, 4 or 5.
Yeah. Make for a great short on YouTube right there. But really, though, I've seen several different exercises like that over the years where you get somebody thinking, you get somebody in this space, and they're not necessarily listening to what you're saying or what you're asking them. They're just, like that quote says, they're listening to speak again. As you're talking, maybe as my client, I'm not listening to what you're saying. I'm listening and thinking about what I'm going to say next rather than what you're speaking to me. So that is active listening. Corey, great job. But, you know, as we kind of unpack this, it's kind of could be hypocritical because we also teach the aspect of not listening to your client. So as we get into this topic of listening to your client to become a good salesperson, I know that that's paired with maybe not listening to them And for us, as you all know, we show up at someone's home unannounced. They didn't know we were coming. And now our job is to spend a couple hours, an hour or so with them and leave with a bank account and a social. And one of their most trusted things that they're going to count on us being there in their life. And that takes a relationship to be built. And that happens over time. So what I would say, Corey, when I say, I don't want you listening to your client and you think about our sales process, what does that necessarily mean to you?
So I was one of the more guilty ones early on in my career where I'm not listening at all. And I'm sitting there just waiting, just biting my tongue until they stop talking to say what I wanted to say. And, you know, when I didn't make my pivot in insurance sales until I figured out when you listen and when you don't. And the way that I do the trainings, the way we talk about it is you want to hear everything they have to say, but you have to pick and choose when you listen to it, right? Mm-hmm. So at the door or any kind of anytime you're dealing with an objection, you have to hear it, but you should not listen to it. But then when you're building core and you're getting to know them, you have to be active listening, because most times they're going to tell you how to sell them. They are going to provide you with that angle, but you have to be listening. And if you're sitting there waiting to speak again, then you're not going to hear what they're trying to tell you. Nine times out of 10, if you get them to let their guards down, they're going to tell you how they can sell, how they can be sold. You just have to be listening. So it's kind of weird that if for someone outside of sales, the psychology of it is crazy. So you hear this, you listen to that, but you don't listen to this. It's crazy. Like there's a stark difference between hearing and listening, for sure.
Yeah. Now that's good. So just to context, like we'll hear a lot when you show up at the door. I've got that taken care of. Right? Somebody was just out here last week.
Yes. So Corey, let me ask you this. As far as during this sit, how does the act of listening in your role as assuming that client is going to buy? So can you maybe unpack that a little bit?
Are you talking about like just assuming it? Can you elaborate a little bit, Lindsay? I'm sorry.
Yeah. So as you're actively listening, like as you're building that relationship with the client, in assuming that they're going to do this, what are some key things that you're actively listening for? Because we all know we've been in the home and they go, some of them can go 90 miles a minute and you're like, where is this story going?
Yeah.
But we're trying to listen for some things that might identify, again, to your point, how we can sell them.
Yes. Looking for your angle. And if you're not actively listening, you're not going to see your angle. But if they're a lot of times, I like them to be going 90 miles an hour because they're going to spit out more than they maybe even intended to. And if you're really paying attention, eye contact and all, and that's a sidebar there. Clients can tell if you're really listening or not. Well, they can. And they're looking for any reason in the world to write you off. And if you're not engaged at the edge of your seat, just making eye contact, listening, they're going to be able to tell. But if you are, and you do have that person who's just spilling everything going 90 miles an hour, if you can funnel that conversation in the right direction, they're going to tell you everything they need to know. They're going to tell you their financial situation. They're going to tell you who that insurance would be for. If they have any insurance, they're going to tell you their health situation, any kind of previous problems with their insurance. If you funnel the questions in the right way, because once they get going, the problem is, how do you get that client to go 90 miles an hour? Once they're going 90 miles an hour, it's very easy to direct them in the way you want to go because they started conversing, they trust you, they want to talk. That part's easy. I'd love to be able, if everybody could just get them going 90 miles an hour, that would be ideal. So to answer your question, it's just probing questions once you do get them going. It starts with what CORE stands for, right? So asking them about their family, about their hobbies, about their business, about their family, their health. You're asking those probing questions to kind of get them going and actively listening. And in those questions, they're going to tell you every time what you need to hear. You just have to be listening.
Correct. And really kind of finding those those questions that kind of make them light up, right? And so if it's their grandchild or, you know, maybe they knit quilts or whatever that they do, and then finding that thing. And then along the way, they might say, oh, yeah, and I had a heart attack 5 years ago, and then they're still going on. You're like, hey, tell me a little bit about that health condition that you had.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Once you hear what you want to hear, you now focus on it and you branch off from that. And now you're controlling that conversation in a point where you're going to find some answers there. And you're going to, and then when you hear the answer you want to hear, you make a focal point. And you're like, okay, so I assume that's why I'm here. And you assume it. I tell you one thing, and this was a favorite line of mine. I promise you this, before I leave here today, you guys are going to be in a much better situation. I'm going to have your family taken care of. That is just, it's assuming it. It's also telling them, but it's also coming from a place of caring. I mean, okay, Corey's going to take care of us. So now they're not in the mindset of if we want to do it or not. It's like Corey just said, he's going to take care of us. So, you know, let's do this. And that all stems from listening and then kind of funneling them into saying what you want them to say and then assuming the sale from there. And once you get that, I mean, a light bulb should go off. I'm like, boom, okay, this is what you're using. This is where I go from here.
Yes, and really, you're setting the expectation on the front side, and you're letting them know, hey, this is what my goal is. It's to take care of you and to help ensure that your family's going to be in the best case scenario moving forward after I get done helping.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and just for me to, you know, I've got to put my two cents in too. It's about those emotional things, right? I mean, we're selling a life insurance policy. We're helping them make sure their final expenses are covered. So what you're really listening for is the why they're going to buy, right? We always say they're not buying because of the facts. They're not buying because I told you everybody dies with debt. They're not buying because I told you that the funeral costs more money than the car that you bought or maybe even the trailer that you're renting from, right? But to make sure that their granddaughter, who's taking care of their affairs, isn't going to be the one painfully going down to the funeral home wondering what she's going to be doing, now we figure out the why they're going to buy, right? And if they mention that their neighbor, they sent this card in because they just watched their neighbor's family go through a sudden death and a daughter scramble around to figure out who's going to help go fund that through the community, those are the kind of things that you hear. And you may ask a little bit more about, and like you say, probe, dig, fact find to then use when it becomes your part of the presentation, right? Yeah. So I think what you said the most that I love and I always like to say again is people become comfortable with you when they are the ones doing all the talking. And those people are only going to be talking if we're asking them the right questions. And if we're asking them questions about the answers that they're giving us, now we're getting on their street. We have heard what they've said and wanted to find out more about it. They're continuing to talk. They're building that trust that allows for us now to take over the presentation, right? Now it becomes we've identified the problem. We are going to walk through what it is that I came here for today. And we're going to solve this problem that you've now presented to me. I can help you with that. And Corey, that's really what I think wanted to unpack with you, because I know you've taught on it. You've done a great job. All salespeople get objections, right? We've talked about objections you may get at the door. Those are the kind of things you don't necessarily want to hear. You just move through and continue down your line and get to that point where now we're really talking business. Now we know why you wanted me here. Now I know how I can help you. Let me walk through and show you how we're going to solve this problem, show you what it's going to do for you. And at the end of my road, I'm going to ask you which one fits in your budget that we're going to start putting in place next month, right? But also that comes time that they now know that money's coming out of their bank account next month. And sometimes that's easier than said than done, right? And you've kind of, I guess, and maybe it's something you learned, acronymed, the way that you handle these objections when it comes down to the nitty gritty and it comes down to decision-making time. Are we doing this? Are we not doing this? And you explained that as LARIC, LARIC. And that is an objection handling acronym. And I just want you to kind of break that down for us, go through what that is, what it means, how you've used that in your career. Because again, Corey is a million-dollar plus producer. He's been there, done it, makes it happen every time. As good as anybody gets with that. So talk to us about overcoming objections by listening to the client.
Yeah. So LARIC, it stands for listen, agree, restate, isolate, and close. And the reason it's so important, I mean, ironically enough, I didn't even learn this in insurance. And my previous sales job straight out of college is what I learned from that. So I can say I took something from that job that led me here. But it's amazing because every objection has one focal point. It's money, right? They can say what they want to say. They can blame it on this or that, but it's money. But there's no real good way to pin it on that if they don't say it, right? You can't just call them out and be like, oh, that objection's not real. This is what it really is, Mrs. Jones. Why'd you say it was this? You can't do that. That's combative, and you're not going to get anywhere with that. So LARIC is designed to isolate the close into something you can, into an objection you could handle. So for example, at the door, you're not listening at that point in time. You're hearing the objection, but that's just a knee-jerk reaction. You're getting in that home. You're just restating what you said. You're not making a big deal of it. That's completely different. This is about objections at the end that you do have to listen to. So for an example, one of the hardest objections to overcome is when a client says, we just want to think about it, right? I mean, how do you handle that objection? You can't, but it's not a real objection, right? So you have to now turn that and pin it into a position in which you can turn it into an objection that you can use. So first step, listening. We've already hit on that, but you have to actually be listening to understand what we just said, rather than blasting through and trying to overpower them or push them into it to doing it. So you have to listen. Second step is agree. The reason agree is so important is because when they throw an objection like out there, objection like that out there, your next words are the most important. If you are combative, they will shut down. They will dig in. And it's like burying the feet in the ground. They're not going anywhere. Now they're stubborn and now they're on the defense. So if you immediately bounce back at them and say, don't agree, you're not going anywhere, right? But if you do agree, you know, hey, I completely understand where you guys are coming from. I get it. You know, like this is something that's been on your mind. You've been thinking about this, but also I just showed up an hour ago. It's a big decision. I get that. So that's how you agree with them. That's how you take the pressure off of the client. You don't want to build that pressure up. You want to take it down a notch because you've already tried laying your price out once. That puts the pressure on. When they give an objection, you have to decrease that pressure. You have to let that pressure out and then find another way to go back in 5 minutes. So you agree with them, takes the pressure down. You can almost watch them lower their shoulders and take a deep breath and be like, okay, this isn't going to be confrontational. So once you've agreed, you restate what they said. Basically, you put it out there for them to hear you saying it. So what you're saying is that you love everything about this and you know you need it. You just want to think about it, right? You're not sure what you want to do. And they're going to say, yes. Okay, perfectly. Well, let me ask you guys this, and this is part of the isolation. This is the most important part of it. Let me ask you this. Are you guys at least sold and convinced that you want whole life insurance, something that is never going to change on you, that will never drop you, it builds a guaranteed cash value? We talked a lot about early on about the stuff that comes in through the mail, right? It's a 2-year wave. It'll go up every 5 years. It will drop you at a certain age. Can we at least say we're sold on the whole life insurance? And they're going to say yes every time. Perfect. And of those whole life companies, and we talked about how we work with many of them, are you sold on company A right here? We work a lot with American Amical. Let's just run with American Amical.
Are you sold on the fact that American Amcor would be a great company for you? We talked about how long they've been in business. We talked about how fast they process claims. We talked about all the benefits, the nursing home waiver of rider, the accident double indemnity. They've got grandchild riders. We talked about all of that. Credit with the Better Business Bureau. Are you comfortable if and when you, whatever it is American Amicable the company that you'd love to work with? They're going to say yes. And finally, an agent's role in this is crucial. Do you feel like I would be a good agent? Do you have trust and faith in me that not only did I do my job today, but that I would be there for your family when that time matters? Because this is a big deal. A lot of pressure is on me as the agent to do my job for you. Your all's job is to keep those premiums in place. My job is really, I go to work when something happens and your family needs me. Are you confident that I would do that for you? Are you confident that I'm that agent that you need? And if you did a good presentation, they're going to say yes. So, sounds to me like, guys, you know you want whole life insurance. You know that American Amcor is one of the best of the best. And you're confident in me. So, when you say you want to think about it, what it really comes down to is you're just not sure which amount you want to do. Am I right? Assuming it, they're going to say yes. Every time they're going to say yes. And so, okay, perfect. That makes total sense. That is how we've got many, many, many clients feel the exact same way as you have. Here's what we ended up doing for them, and here's what we're going to do for you. So again, you're making them feel like they're not alone in that, right? It's very common to feel that way. And then you're also telling them subliminally, hey, this, just because you feel this way, we've had many other people feel that way, and we've still done something with, they've still agreed to do this. So like, it feels normal to move forward. And you say, here's what we're going to do. You take that pricing sheet, and if you laid out to say 15, 20, and 25,000, you're going to mark out the 20 and the 25, and then you're going to go and you're going to grab it and you're going to write 7,500 and 10,000. Here's what we're going to do. And then you just make it about money at that point in time. So you talk about, all right, perfect. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a starter policy, right? What that means is some insurance is better than none, because you guys are not sure on which amount you want to do. The last thing I want to do is come in here and put you guys in a worse position, because if it's going to take food off the table or it's going to run you too thin each month, we don't need to do this. Okay. But at the same time, some insurance is better than no insurance at all. And I've been here for an hour. It's very clear we do need some insurance in place. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start out with a starter policy. Our couple of starter policies, they range from $5,000 to $10,000. Is it enough insurance to cover everything? No. But I tell you what, your family's going to appreciate some a lot more than none. Okay. And then here's the cool part about this program is you can always add to it later on, guys. Most important thing, we got to be able to get you qualified with the company. If we're not able to get you qualified with the company, all this is for nothing. So then you rewrite on there what 5, 75, and 10 is. And then that is another opportunity for you to lay out price and start the process over again, right? And then you lay out 5, 75, and 10. But that's just the whole point of that is to circle back around, make it about money, and then give yourself a second chance to lay out price. Now you've applied that pressure again. So you listen. You agree with what they're saying to take the pressure down. You restate it so it's said out loud so they can hear it. You isolate it down to money, and then you close them. And that's how you get the Lyric system.
Boom. I mean, that is pure gold. And I, when I originally first heard that, Corey, I mean, I'd been in sales probably at 5 years, and I'd never heard that method. And so I know that there's so many people that could benefit that. Because not only are you agreeing and acknowledging, but you're getting down to the nitty gritty of exactly what is their concern. And to your point, it is always about money. It is. It's always about money. Hey, do you trust me? And we've got the company and you agree with this. I mean, that just narrows everything down to where then you can continue to move forward with this, because ultimately, you know, we're there for the beneficiaries that we never get to meet. And so by taking their first knee-jerk reaction, as you say, hey, we've got to continue to move this forward and try to isolate what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the funny thing about it is when you do lay out the new prices, half the time they're going to pick one of the numbers on the original one because it wasn't even a real objection. It was just a knee-jerk reaction. And that's what I think is the most important thing for people in sales to understand, is that normal, no is normal, right? It's unusual if you don't get told no multiple times in a day in the life of sales. And so you can't take that personally. You just have to, it's got to be a systematic response. And that's why Lyric works out so well at the end, is because it's systematic. You put the pressure on the system. You don't take it personal. It'd be weird. Matter of fact, there's actually stats that back that. The people that don't say no at all are a lot of times the ones going to cancel, or they're going to, another agent's going to show up and they're going to convince them to cancel a month or two down the road. So no is not even a bad thing. That's normal. It's just you have to work around those no's to get back to where you want to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'll just point out, you know, what I love about what you just went through is that it almost is a condensed version of what we just did in the last hour, right? So clearly, first step, taking the pressure off. But then what you did was you reaffirmed, right? We reaffirmed that this is the right product. Not the other things that you may be thinking about. We've reaffirmed that this is a good company and a company you can trust to take care of it. We've reaffirmed that I am the agent, and we have confirmed that you trust me. And then what I would say that you could shed light on again, as you did, is the why, right? And when you say, now we know, we've talked about this for an hour, that we don't want Lenny, or we don't want Bailey to be the one have to go down there, and this is going to solve that problem that we had. It's just finding the one that fits in those, you know, cold and hard months of the winter sometime. So I love it. Again, that's what you've done for the last hour, is build that case. And now you're basically doing a flyby as you then work back around to it and ask them for that close. Corey, I just want to ask, you mentioned earlier, like, I've not always been a great listener when it comes to this process and being in the home, and I've always listened to speak. What are some things over the years that you've done that has, you know, because again, the great thing about this for you is that it's second nature, you know, and I've listened to some things recently. This whole process translates from different industries. You know, I was listening to an improv guy yesterday talk about how you do improv on stage, and it starts with listening. It follows up with agreeing, and then we look to move forward, right? And that's how you kind of create the smooth transitions. So what are some things that you've done throughout your career to become a better listener, or to instill this as a smooth, natural, flowing process that you have? How have you built yourself? Because I know you've done this for 12 years or more. And
Yeah, it has been that long. That's crazy. Well, for the first probably 7, I didn't listen at all. So I got that.
Figured out that you had to do something different.
Yeah. You know, getting married, having a child definitely forces you to listen a little bit better. We'll say that. But on a real level, I hear some thing about it. I started taking my business more seriously, with goals and wanting to be a true business owner, a true entrepreneur. I wanted to run everything. I started prioritizing it more. And you can't do that if you're not listening, right? And so when you have agents who depend on you, if you're hearing them and not listening, you're not taking your business seriously, or their problems and concerns are going to get put to the wayside accidentally. Their success is going to be hindered. And so for me, it was just setting my tone and setting my priorities to where this is what I want to do. This is what I want to build, and knowing what it takes. And also, you know, we've got some great guys on our team. Andy has always been a big proponent of, you have 2 ears and 1 mouth. And he tells us that all the time. So if you're not, like, you're meant to listen, his preface is, you're meant to listen
a lot more than you're meant to speak. And there's even little drills we've done, you know, and it takes away the words of saying like, huh, a lot, and things that don't sound professionally good. You know, if you don't hear the question, listen to the question, then your initial reaction say, huh? And Andy's just, he's completely driven that out of me. And he's made me a better listener in that aspect. But really, it just comes down to how serious you take your business. Because if you're not listening, because if you can't learn, if you're not listening, you can't learn. And if you don't feel like you can learn from every single person in a room, every single client, every single agent, then you don't take your business seriously. And that's a very elementary way of looking at things. And you're never going to get to where you want to go if you can't listen and take something from everybody. And so that's something I have learned over the years, that, you know, lower the ego, listen to everyone, and just kind of like take it in. If you ever think you're the smartest person in the room, it means you're not, right? And the people, I feel like the people that don't listen is the ones that think they're smarter than the person they're listening to. And whether that's true or not is irrelevant. That doesn't mean you can't learn from somebody right beside you. So it was just basically a growing up process for me. You know, when you're truly active listening, it is something you have to develop and self-develop into a better version of yourself to really listen to clients and agents and family members and friends. I mean, you can hear them, but it doesn't always mean you're listening.
So true. Hey, Corey, let me ask you this. You know, as far as maybe to our listeners that are listening in and they're in some sort of sales and they really want, they want to try this method, what are some helpful tips? Because I'm sure the first time you did it, it probably didn't go as seamless as it did just now. What are some helpful tips that they could do to really get in that mode? Is there anything that you did that really kind of helped you through along the way?
Well, the first thing you want to do, and really it's the only thing required to do this handle of objection, is you got to think of three things that you know you've done a good job in your pitch of. So when you're coming down to isolating it, if you notice, I isolated it with three different ways. Are you okay with the type of insurance? Are you okay with American Amicable? And are you okay with me? And those are three things I did to funnel them into it being about money. So if you're going to use that objection, the one thing you have to go into ahead of time is you have to know the three things that are going to separate yourself from the next person that comes in line. Those are the three things you're going to use to make them want to do business with you. You can't come up with that on the fly. So depending on the insurance business, depending on the business or what product you're selling, just think of three things that you know in your pitch you're going to do well on. And you could then use that to handle that objection.
Okay. That's awesome. That's great. Three things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's great. And that's what I was thinking too, is like you said, you know, really taking my ownership to a different level of being that business owner, being the sales professional, knowing what you do well, knowing your competition, and then knowing what you're going to stand on. And that's that I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to be the guy that differentiates myself from the next guy that may show up at your house. So knowing your business and knowing your competition is a big part of what creates that security that you have. So great advice, perfecting the pitch.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Corey, thank you so much for your time here today. And I want to encourage our listeners to please go back and listen to that. That was so impactful and guaranteed to make a difference in your business. And make sure to like and subscribe. And we will see you all next week.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high-performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial. That's hype.financial to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.